as we open His Word. Father God, You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us because of Your great, great love for us. To take the price of our sin upon Jesus. In doing so, Lord, You redeemed Your people. You brought us from death into life. By Your grace, we are saved through faith, O Lord God, not through works. That none may boast, but we would look to You and say, praise You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your salvation. Your salvation doesn't just mean we get a ticket into heaven someday. No, Lord, it means You have brought us into Your family. That You have grafted us into Yourself, the vine. We are the branches, Lord. That You have made us one. You have made us one body together with Christ as our head. That You have made us one family, Lord. That we are Your children. And You are our Father. Thank You. We love You and we praise Your name, O God. Lord, as we open Your Word this morning, would You teach us how to live as Your children? To live as members of Your family, O Lord God. That we would see what that looks like, what that entails, Lord. Would You in this time, through Your Word and through the working of Your Holy Spirit now, would You encourage us, strengthen us, give us the eternal perspective that You have, O Lord God. That we would know Your love in this moment and we would trust You with our all in all, O God. And as Your people trust You, would You receive all glory and all honor and all praise that is due to Your name, O good, good Father. We pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. I think one of the most wonderful ministries that we as Christians can be involved in is ministry of foster care, adoption. I think that whether it's by actually adopting or supporting those who have entered into adoption, by taking in foster children or supporting those who do take in foster children, I think it is an absolutely amazing ministry. There are approximately 500,000 children in foster care in the United States. There are approximately 500,000 churches in the United States. Interesting, huh? I think that it's a beautiful ministry because, not just that it's wonderful, which it is, and so many of our ministries are wonderful, and opportunities to minister are wonderful, but one of the beautiful things about the ministry of adoption and ministry of foster care is that it proclaims the heart of God. It proclaims the nature and character of God. In adoption, we see what our Heavenly Father does for us when we are born again. Through faith in Jesus Christ by God's grace. It's what He does for us. The Bible describes many different ways what it means to be born again. But one of them is that we are adopted. We are adopted. One of the beautiful things about the adoption system that has been around since the ancient Roman world is that those who are adopted have full and complete rights as children and as heirs as those who are children of natural birth. There's no second-class citizen if you are adopted. In fact, I contend, something even more special about being adopted than if our children are by natural birth. Because if you are adopted, your parents actively chose you. Because they love you. That you were chosen by parents who care. And of course, no parent is perfect this side of heaven. Of course, we know that. I'm not trying to gloss over challenges that we have had possibly in our natural relationships, our adopted relationships. But there is an eternal quality, there is a permanent, everlasting quality to adoption, which is paralleled times of, and then multiplied by infinity. Does that make sense? Parallel? Okay, let's go with that. Paralleled and multiplied by infinity when the Lord adopts us and we are made children of God. And our passage this morning in the book of 1 John is going to look at that. It's going to talk about first the reality. It's going to affirm the reality that we are children of God if we have been born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Then it's going to go on to describe what life is like living in the family of God. Now, it would not help us at all to describe what life is like to live in my family. You wouldn't be helped by that. You'd be confused by that. A lot of chaos with us and our 12 children. Just seems like 12, I know. The scripture this morning is going to talk to us about what it looks like, what it means to live as part of the family of God. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? You are part of the family of God. You are not alone. You are a member of God's family, and not just a member, you are heirs with Christ of all of God's abundant love and provision and fatherhood over us. Now and on to eternity. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of 1 John? Still to be found right before the book of 2 John. I know, I'm sorry. I'm here all day. Oh, it's that dad joke genre now that comes out, which I find hysterical. Book of 1 John chapter 3, we'll look at verses 1 through 6 this morning. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are children of God now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared to take away sin, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him. This is God's Word. Living as children of God, for that is what we are. He first describes the reality of that relationship. It's a relationship of love with the Father in verses 1 and 2. What does it mean that we are children of God? That we are entered into a relationship of love with the Father. And it is an eternal one. Look at this declaration. See. Now, see is, and if you're in the ESV, it says see. I would suggest maybe a little bit soft for us, right? Remember the song that parallels this verse? How does it start? I just heard it. Maylin, was that you? How does it start? Behold! There's this strong proclamation. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons or the children of God. Behold, John is saying, stop and pause and ponder this enormous, glorious reality. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child. You are a child of Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You and I, we are His children. Father good, good Father, whose banner over us is love, who rejoices over you with singing. Maybe as a child, your parents would sing to you. Like I've talked before about whenever I sing the song Amazing Grace now, I get a little sleepy. Because I forever would hold my children and walk, pace in the house, and I'd sing Amazing Grace to them, trying to get them to sleep. Verse after verse after verse after verse. And it was lovely. It was good for my soul, too. But I'd get a little tired, and they'd get a little sleepy, and I'd get a little sleepy. So sometimes association kind of built there, right? But this beauty of a parent singing over their child. Why? Because you love them. That's what the Scriptures declare the Heavenly Father is with us, that He rejoices over you with singing because your Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you, and He has adopted you. He has brought you into His family. See, behold, what kind of love the Father has given to us. It's so great that He has made us His children. That's how great His Father's love is. Our Father's love is. And He did it by sending Jesus Christ to the cross on our behalf. That's how great His love is for you. Brothers and sisters, I know that there are times when we struggle with believing God's love. That may come about because circumstances in life are getting so hard. And you cry out with King David, "Where are you, Lord? How long, O Lord?" Maybe it's because there's something in your soul that is just eating away at you. And you're in a darkness. And you can't see or can't feel or can't reach out to God. And it feels like, where are you, Father? And so it becomes hard at times for us to truly know and experience the love of God. Brothers and sisters, that's us, that's not God. Those are real issues that we deal with. Circumstances, mental illness, different challenges within our life. Those are real issues. I'm not discounting that. I'm saying it never changes the love of God. God's love for you will never change. Will never wane, will never lessen, will never wander. God's love for you is eternal and absolute. How do I know that? Because He declares it here in His Word. Behold what manner of love the Father has given you. How do I know that? He has adopted you as His children. How do I know that? Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. We need not question His love for us. It is eternal. We are in an eternal relationship with the Father that is one of love. And it's glorious because it's not just how it is right now, but it's going to get better and better and better. Verse 2, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears at His return, or when we go to meet Him, we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. We know the Father, we know Jesus now, if you are a believer in Christ, but we know Him only in part. When heaven comes, when the kingdom of God is consummated, and we are in His eternal kingdom, when there's no more sin and no more sickness and no more crying and no more sleepless nights and no more sorrow, no more broken relationships, no more trouble or pain, we shall know Him. And I would contend, it's not in this passage, so I want to be careful. I'll be really careful with this, but that God is eternal. God is infinite. These are things we know from the Scriptures that they declare who He is. So I suggest that when we are in heaven, we will not become infinite, though we will live eternally, but we do not become God. We will not be omniscient. So we will spend all eternity getting to know deeper and deeper and deeper who God is. Let me give one little clarification there. I don't think that means that we will learn new things about God. Like in heaven, we'll learn one day God is purple or something like that. No. I think what that means is now, here and now, we know what? God is love, for example. But I think we will spend all eternity delving the depths of what it means that God is love. Because God's love is infinite. And we will spend all every day in heaven, we will wake up. Sorry. Don't be sorry. Put him on speakerphone. Jesus is calling. Lord. It's like Samuel waking up Eli. What, Lord, did you call me? I mean, I rang your phone and you didn't listen. What am I going to do? Every day we will wake up and learn more that day about the love of God. How awesome will that be on for all eternity? To know the love of God, learning, growing deeper and deeper in our love relationship with Him. And that we have hope, we have faith in God that we don't know yet, fully understand what heaven's going to be like. I think the Scriptures, they give us images, but I don't think it even begins to describe what heaven will be like because our brains are just too small right now to be able to understand it. There's no way that we can. It's not because God doesn't want to explain it to us. It's just so glorious that it's beyond our capacity to even begin to understand. So we do not know what we shall be like, but we know that we shall resemble Christ. That's what Christian means, little Christ. That is what we're all about here, is growing closer and more in likeness to Christ. And in heaven, that process will go through the roof. Because we will not be hindered by this sin that so easily entangles us. First, living as a child of God means a relationship of love with the Father. Secondly, living as children of God means a responsibility of trust from the Father. Verse 3, so powerfully coming right after that first section of verses 1 and 2 there about the relationship of love. Now we have verse 3, short. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Everyone who thus, see that little word thus there? So that's pointing back to verse 2, where it says, we know when He appears we shall be like Him. So there's a faith that's going on in verse 3. It's saying when we approach God in faith, knowing that when He comes we shall be conformed to His image, we shall be glorified when we are brought into heaven, when we come to heaven, we shall be glorified. By faith we do that. Therefore, that faith in what God is going to do gives us hope here and now that purifies us. Everyone who thus hopes in Him, thus hopes, the way He just described in verse 2, purifies himself as He is pure. And so, what that means is that we trust God. I think this is where the rubber hits the road in the Christian life. Do we really trust God in the middle of these circumstances? We look ahead to God's promises in heaven, and in doing so, which is future, we now live now as children of hope. Trusting because of what God has done, that we will now hope in Christ, and we thus say, I'm going to live differently now. I'm going to change how I live now. I'm going to learn to trust the Father with everything in my life. That I will become less and less dependent on myself and my own strength and my own abilities and my own power. And I will become more dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. I will trust Him day in and day out. I will trust Him when I do not see the road marked in front of me. I will trust Him when the way is hard and when the way is easy. You know, the wonderful parable by John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. It's about a young follower of Christ, or someone who becomes a follower of Christ named Christian, and it describes the life of walking with Christ as an actual journey through all kinds of toils and dangers and difficulties onto the celestial city. And along the way, he encounters so many challenges, so many struggles, so many temptations, so many attacks and things that are so confusing. But in the very beginning of his journey, he is told, the path is straight. Just stay on the path. And that proves to be impossible at times for him. He wanders from the path, and by God's grace, he brings him back onto the path there. But the way is clear. And as all these troubles come into life, do we truly trust God? Or when the circumstances come, when the doctor calls, when the bank calls, when your children or your spouse or the police or someone calls and life just suddenly turns upside down, is God still God? Do we trust Him? Here's the call as children of God to trust Him. Everyone who thus hopes in Him, therefore, is purifying himself, just as Jesus is pure. That there is a faith in God, a trust in God, a hope in God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Hope in God. Hope in God. Living as children of God, it's a relationship of love with the Father. It's a responsibility of trust from the Father. And third and final, it's a reflection of our Father in our lifestyles. Verses 4 through 6. Here he seems to take a switch. And again, the way John writes, he's so Hebrew in his thinking, which is just glorious and so hard for me as a Reformed engineer. That's why I like Paul. It's just straight. Paul writes straight. I know it's long, but he writes straight. John writes in circles, and each circle he picks up more and more and comes back to a topic and then brings it forward farther and more. And it's glorious and beautiful and confounding to my brain at times. I have to ask my wife how to understand John sometimes. Here John is not moving on to a different topic. He's picking up a topic that he's been talking about previously in this short letter. Remember, two main themes of the letter. God is light, and therefore we must live in the truth. God is love, and therefore we follow Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is light, and God is love. And here he is referring to the reality that God is light, and therefore what we must do. Verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is not just something we do. Sin, when we sin, we are breaking the law. And we have an identity now. Sin gives us an identity. It's not just an action that happens. We are identified as lawbreakers. And when we reject the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sinning. We reject His ways. We absorb sin, which is why Jesus Christ's sacrifice was necessary. The perfect Son of God, His sacrifice was necessary. It's not just another animal has to be sacrificed because our sin is infecting us like a cancer, infecting our souls. And we need the perfect Son of God to die on the cross for us, taking our place, the punishment of the effect of sin. Therefore, he's saying, because sin is lawlessness, we who are Christians, that is not the characteristic of our lives. That shall not be how we are characterized, by sin. Yes, as we've seen throughout this epistle, we're going to sin. In fact, John says, anyone who claims to be without sin is a liar. He's not saying that you must be sinless. He knows we're going to sin. We have an advocate in heaven, a lawyer in heaven, who we can go and who pleads our case, who stands before the judge, the Father, for us to plead our case for Him. Because He is the one who has paid for all of our sin. But as children of God, it means we abide in Christ. Another word He used, we looked at last week, the abiding, the dwelling, the living, the having our home with Jesus. And abiding with Christ, we do not keep on sinning. We do not maintain a heart position of sin. When we sin, we confess our sins. Sin matters to God in the life of the believer. God desires to purify us. God desires for us to walk in His ways in public and in private. God desires for us to reflect the nature of Christ, right? It just said that we, when He appears, we will be like Him. Verses 1 and 2. Verse 3, the second section I mentioned, says that when we hope in Him thusly, that we are purified. This purifying, this sanctification matters greatly to God. Not so we can get saved. He's not saying, get rid of sin in your life so that you can be saved. He's saying, because you're saved. Because you're saved and you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you desire to be like Him, you desire to reflect Him, you desire to love Him and honor Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, get rid of the sin. Walk in the ways of Christ. As Christ tells us to love one another, we don't hate one another, therefore. As Christ tells us to build each other up, we don't tear each other down. As Christ tells us to humbly walk with one another. We don't lord over one another. We don't tear each other apart. We build each other up. We love one another. We encourage, we strengthen one another. And we do so by drawing deeply into Jesus Christ. Deeply trusting in His Spirit. That our lives would reflect the Father. And not trying to put on some false picture of I'm super Christian or somewhere, you know, we're super Christians. And the world will look at us and say, wow, aren't they just great people? No. I want the world and you all and myself and my family to look at me and the Lord to look at me and see a man who is broken, and when I am aware, not if, when I am aware and made aware of my sin, that I humbly repent before the Father, that I get on my knees before the Father, confess my sins, and repent. Not to be held up as some super person, because then it's just a lie. As John says, if you claim to be without sin, you lie. But sin does matter. And too often we say, well, I'm born again, so what does sin matter? Who cares? I'm already saved. What does it matter? It matters because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And don't you want to reflect Him more and more in your lives? Don't you want more and more of Christ to fill you? I tell you, I was so encouraged yesterday by these men at the men's breakfast. I was so encouraged to hear these guys praying and talking about the Lord. Was it Phil Lee, the Gideon? Tony. There's this man in his 90s who's been a Gideon forever, you push him and he just oozes Jesus. And you just tap him on the shoulder and just Jesus just comes out. Just lost his wife a month and a half ago. Right? Here he's at this men's breakfast in his 90s, I think, and he's praising the Lord. He's encouraging us in the Lord with his joy. His prayers were precious. Here's just a man who just oozes Jesus, and I'm just so encouraged by that. And he's no way trying to pull himself up as super Christian and superhuman in ways that we can never attain to, but he encouraged me because he loves the Lord. And so many of these other men did also. That's part of why we need to be together. That's why we need to not just talk about football. We must talk about the Lord when we gather together. We must pray together and read the Scriptures together and encourage and strengthen one another in the Lord. The Lord is good. We are children of God. If we are born again, if you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, welcome to the family. I feel welcomed to be in the family with you. We are God's family. And that means we are in a relationship of love with the Father. That means that we have a responsibility of trust from the Father. And that means that we need to have lives that reflect the Father as we walk about our day, as our lifestyle witnesses to the Lord. We are children. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 in closing proclaims, "You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Believers, brothers and sisters, you are adopted. You are a child of God. You are brought into the family of God, not because you were goody two-shoes, not because you were better than someone else, but because God loves you, because of His great love. And now He is our Abba, Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You that You have adopted us. Thank You that we are in the family of God. Oh, thank You, Lord, not because of what we've done, not because of anything within us, not because of anything within us, because of Your great, great love, grace, and mercy. I do pray, O God, that You would show us how to live as Your children. You would strengthen us by the working of Your Holy Spirit, that we would live as Your children, growing deeper and deeper in love with You every day. And I pray also, Lord God, that the world, the dying world around us, would see You in our midst and trust You and turn to You and seek Your face, O Lord God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.